Geraldine, you're speaking at Aspen Words this week, and one thing I think is particularly interesting about the work you've done is that you started your writing career as a journalist, and now you write novels. Can you talk about that transition for me a little bit and how you went from one to the other?
I was in Nigeria doing some reporting on allegations that Shell Oil Company was in cahoots with the then brutal military dictatorship of Sani Abacha. And for my troubles, I got arrested and thrown in the slammer by the Nigerian secret police. And I wasn't sure how long they were going to keep me. And it was while I was lying on the concrete floor of this rather unlovely lockup, I thought, holy cow, I have totally forgotten to get pregnant. And if they keep me for any length of time, I will have blown the chance to have a family. And that was really seriously the first time I ever thought about it. And so when they deported me after only 3 days, thank goodness, I went home and greeted my husband, Tony, with more than usual enthusiasm. And our son was born the following year. And at that point, I needed a new gig. I didn't want to go off on, you know, long open-ended assignments to places where you might get thrown in the slammer or worse, because I had this infant at home. So that was when my imagination turned to a story that I'd come across 10 years earlier about this village in the Peak District in England that had made a unique community decision when bubonic plague struck the village, and they went into a voluntary quarantine rather than doing what every other single place had always done in the face of the plague, which was flee if you could and try and save your skin. And these people didn't do it. And so I'd been thinking about it for a long time, about what that would be like to come to a consensus like that and then live through the consequences of being in a quarantine in your own village. And so I sat down to see if I could write a novel about it.
And what was that transition like, going from journalistic writing to writing a novel? It's an interesting, I don't know, maybe if it was a choice to write, once you started writing fiction, that it was kind of historical fiction as well.
Yeah, that was unexpected, because having been a news person all my life until that point and being very interested in what was happening currently, to then find this fascination with the past. And I do blame my husband, Tony Horwitz, for that, because he loves history. And he studied it in college and, you know, he just lives for it, basically. And it's a case of, you know, I had come to graduate school in the United States where I met him, and I guess it's a case of it's fun to sleep with foreigners, but be careful because their interests will change your life, you know. So we've dragged each other in directions that we might not have gone. He wasn't a great traveler when I met him, but me being an Australian of a certain generation, travel was a given. All Australians travel far and hard. So I dragged him around the world and he dragged me into the past.
And going back to the previous thing we were talking about too, I find it interesting that you said you didn't struggle with writing fiction.
I think everybody struggles to a certain extent, but I enjoyed writing fiction very much, and I figured out, how it works for me is you come across one of these fascinating stories from the past where there's a wonderful scaffolding of known fact, but there are a lot of voids in the historical record. So if the people of that village in the Peak District had all kept journals, it wouldn't have been a novel, it would have been a work of narrative nonfiction. But because they were mostly illiterate lead miners and shepherds, they never wrote down what it was like to be them. So the only way to engage with that story is through an active imaginative empathy. And for me, that's how it's gone with all my novels. You hear about some amazing thing from the past. And I love what Mark Twain said, fiction must be plausible, truth needn't be.
your novel, The Secret Chord, came out last year. It's about the biblical figure King David. What inspired you to write about that character?
Well, that was the craziest thing. My son, when he was 9 years old, came to me one day and said, "Mom, I must play the classical harp." And I thought that was such an eccentric choice for a little boy. And but, you know, being a Jewish mother, I immediately said, "Yes, if you want to learn a musical instrument, of course you must, my son." So I looked in the phone book for harps and took him off to his lessons. And he was quite little at the time. And it was seeing him at his lessons dwarfed by the magnificent concert instrument that his teacher allowed him to play that set me thinking about that other boy harpist from the Second Iron Age, this figure of David, who was such a wonderful musician and a warrior and a poet. And then I realized I didn't actually know too much about him. And I went back and read his story, and it just blew me away because it's so complete. I mean, we meet him in early childhood and we follow him through the most eventful life to extreme old age. And I realized it was the first political biography that we have, predating Herodotus by half a millennium. So, and everything happened to him, everything that you can imagine that would be wonderful in a human life and everything that would be just terrible. So it's a very, very rich field for a novelist to work in.
And it also has that thread that we were talking about of having that historical scaffolding that you were talking about.
Well, you know, there's a scaffolding and it's up to everybody to decide where they come down on, you know, the figure of David really shimmers between history and myth, and you have to decide how much is history and how much is myth. But I come down on really believing that somebody very like that existed, because no people make up a hero with as many flaws as this guy has.
I want to pivot a little bit and talk about you and your husband, Tony, who I think some people call a literary kind of like power couple. You guys are both award winners. Do you guys work together as writers ever?
We used to as journalists. We often worked together. When we were based in the Middle East, he would do one side of the story and I would do the other. You know, I would do with the Palestinians, he'd do with the Israelis, Iran, Iraq, you know, and we traded off in that way and then would write a combined story that could be from both sides of a conflict. And that was great fun. But now we've diverged. He says I've gone over to the dark side because I make things up. And he sticks to the hardwood forests of fact.
All right. Geraldine Brooks, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.